question. This is based on the Gita Daily article, The Comprehensible Incomprehensibility and the Incomprehensible Comprehensibility of the Universe. Scientists generally discover new things about the universe, but Krishna knows everything about the universe already. Then in what sense can we call Krishna as a scientist, as a supreme scientist? Answer: the word scientist does not necessarily refer to a discoverer. It primarily means a person with advanced knowledge about the sciences. And the sciences are basically the study of the physical natural world using theoretical models and data from experimentation or observation. So when we talk about Krishna as a scientist, we are not primarily referring to him as a researcher, but as a knower. Scientists, they have a process for acquiring knowledge, and they have a certain kind of knowledge. So that process involves research and discovery, but the knowledge that they have is a rational, systematic understanding of the world around them. So this knowledge is acquired by them through particular methods. But when we are talking about Krishna, we are not focusing on the methods per se. We are focusing on the end product or the knowledge. So Krishna has scientific knowledge of the world. Srila Prabhupada would also refer to Krishna sometimes as a supreme scientist, and Bhakti Swarupa Damodar Maharaj's book, which was written with Prabhupada's approval, The Scientific Basis of Krishna Consciousness, Krishna is referred to as a supreme scientist. So when we say supreme scientist, that simply means that he knows the scientific principles by which the world works. It is not that the scientific principles are something which are unknown to him, because he is omniscient, he knows everything. So it is focusing on the process of acquiring knowledge, and it is not focusing on the process of acquiring knowledge, but on the knowledge itself, when we use Krishna, when you refer to Krishna as the supreme scientist. And actually, when we understand Krishna to be the supreme scientist, then we can understand why the universe is comprehensible. Because why is the universe not entirely made of disorderly patterns? That's how it could have been, or it should have been, if it had been just a product of chance. The very fact that it is not a product of chance is indicated by the fact that there was a rational ordering intelligence. So materialistic scientists or atheistic scientists try to say that the order in the universe has come about by chance, but even they acknowledge that there is some kind of order in the universe. So they don't attribute it to chance. So that, or first of all, there is order in the universe, and that order is comprehensible by us, which is itself surprising. So therefore, when we understand that Krishna is the supreme scientist, that means he knows the scientific principles that have given rise to the world, that are organizing and shaping the world. And when we understand this role of Krishna, then we understand that we can also, to the extent we understand Krishna's intelligence, to that extent we can understand how Krishna has shaped the world. So the discovery of scientific principles, in one sense, indicates the discovery of some aspects of the way in which Krishna has planned the world to be. So that's why when Newton made his discoveries, he said that, "Oh God, I think thy thoughts after thee." So his idea is that God is a supreme scientist, and as a scientist following in his footsteps, he has discovered certain features of the universe. So, "I think thy thoughts after thee." So in this way, Newton is considered to be one of the most famous scientists, and he is saying that his thoughts are actually a repetition of the thoughts of Krishna in designing the universe. So that's how we understand that. By understanding Krishna's, that Krishna is the supreme scientist, and to the extent we understand the scientific nature of intelligence, to that extent, our science develops and we understand the designing principles and laws that govern the universe. Thank you.